British lawmakers reject plans for an early election. Plus, AT&T reaches a truce with its activist investor on revamping its strategy.
AT&T has promised they're going to do a full review of the portfolio. They've promised no more major acquisitions. There was also the promise of putting on two new directors onto the board, which is pretty significant.
And the House schedules a vote on the impeachment inquiry to lay out next steps. It's Monday, October 28th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The House has scheduled a Thursday vote on a resolution laying out the path forward for its impeachment inquiry into President Trump. House Democrats are preparing to move into the public phase of the inquiry after holding several depositions behind closed doors. President Trump's former national security adviser, Charles Kupperman, had been scheduled to appear on Monday, but a top lawyer for the White House has argued that close advisers to the president are immune from being required to testify. Kupperman is waiting for a federal court to decide. Google parent Alphabet posted record sales in the latest quarter thanks to its online advertising engine. The company reported revenue of $40.5 billion, a rise of 20% over the same period last year. But the company's efforts to create new sources of profit could raise concerns about competition from federal regulators. Alphabet's third quarter profits were lower than expected, down 23% from a year earlier. The S&P 500 closed at a new record on Monday, up 0.55% to 3,039, thanks to a boost from tech shares. The Nasdaq had been close to a record, but ended the day up 1%, just shy of a new record close. The Dow was up nearly 0.5%. British lawmakers have rejected Prime Minister Boris Johnson's plan to hold snap elections in December, but the door isn't closed on a national vote later this year. Some opposition parties are looking to team up with Johnson to pass a law with a simple majority that would allow them to hold an election. Johnson had proposed elections to break a stalemate over Brexit. In other Brexit developments, the European Union agreed on Monday to grant an extension for the United Kingdom to exit the bloc until January 31st. The Federal Trade Commission is planning to vote next month on whether to cut off Chinese firms Huawei and ZTE from U.S. federal subsidies, citing national security concerns. The proposal would ban U.S. firms that receive federal subsidies for telecommunication services in rural areas from buying equipment from those companies. The FCC is also proposing funding to remove existing Huawei equipment that has already been installed. In a Wall Street Journal op-ed, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai called this existing equipment an, quote, unacceptable risk. A fast-moving fire broke out early Monday in western Los Angeles, forcing thousands more residents to flee their homes. More than 10,000 homes and businesses are now under mandatory evacuation orders there. In Northern California, another 180,000 people have been forced to evacuate the area around the Kincade Fire, which has now engulfed more than 66,000 acres. Danny Foster from Santa Rosa was among those told to evacuate.
I hope they're just being overly cautious and evacuating a lot of people, and nothing's going
to
happen.
Utilities have also been cutting power to residents in an effort to prevent wildfires. PG&E cut power to about 2.5 million people in Northern California over the weekend. Former North Carolina Senator Kay Hagan died on Monday at the age of 66. A spokeswoman said Hagan died of encephalitis caused by a rare virus. Hagan, a Democrat, was a former bank executive who had won the U.S. Senate seat held by Republican Elizabeth Dole. She served a single term in the U.S. Senate before losing her 2014 re-election bid. Longtime Oregon Congressman Greg Walden has announced plans to retire at the end of his current term. Walden, the top Republican on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, is the 22nd House Republican to resign or announce plans to retire during the current Congress. Some of them have been critical of President Trump. Walden rebuked the president's decision to declare a national emergency to use military funds for a wall along the southern border. But he has defended the president against the House's current impeachment inquiry. AT&T and activist investor Elliott Management, which has challenged the company's strategy, reached a deal on Monday. Longtime CEO Randall Stephenson will stay on board through next year. AT&T, which has made big acquisitions of Time Warner and DirecTV, has agreed to avoid additional major acquisitions and commit to regular share buybacks. Joining me now in our studio with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Driebusch. Corey, bring us up to speed on the battle between AT&T and activist investor Elliott Management.
So 7 weeks ago, Elliott sent a pretty forceful 23-page letter to AT&T challenging the company for all of its acquisitions and its strategy for building a media conglomerate. And at the time, there was a lot of thought about this is going to be a drawn-out, lengthy battle between Randall Stephenson, CEO of AT&T, and Elliott Management. But it pretty quickly, as the Journal had reported about a week or so ago, they were able to come to an agreement today. And what the agreement involves is AT&T has promised they're going to do a full review of the portfolio. They've promised no more major acquisitions. There was also the promise of putting on two new directors onto the board, which is pretty significant. Also, share buybacks. So, and there's other things as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting way to kind of move forward. I think that both parties really wanted to put a battle behind them. Proxy fights are very expensive, and especially AT&T just doesn't seem that would have been a good allocation of capital at this point in time.
Deals like these also typically require both sides to make some changes, and Elliott here doesn't have too many restrictions going forward.
Yeah, so there's two parts. Elliott has no restrictions on its ability to publicly criticize the company in the future, which is unusual since typically in a traditional settlement, an activist makes commitments such as promising not to wage a proxy fight or promising to keep out of the public eye in exchange for some of its demands. This was not a typical settlement because actually there was no legal binding from either party to do anything, which is something, it's kind of more like a handshake, which is just not typical.
So let's talk about some of the challenges for AT&T going forward. We know the company is having trouble keeping its TV customers. We've seen those challenges play out in the company's most recent quarter as well.
Mm-hmm. In this most recent quarter, AT&T, the entertainment division, lost almost 1.5 million pay TV customers. And that included a lot of losses in its kind of satellite and fiber optics area. Also, the quarterly results pretty much missed almost all of the Wall Street projections. So it was a weak, it was definitely a weak quarter. But now they have to try to appease some shareholders. They have this big three, as part of this deal, they have this big three-year capital allocation plan, which is going to be involve that AT&T spends 50% to 70% of its free cash flow after dividend payments on share buybacks, which is a little surprising for a company that also has been committed to paying down debt.
And Corey, we are also seeing how AT&T's acquisition of Time Warner is playing out. The company will demonstrate its subscription service, HBO Max, on Tuesday, and the stakes are pretty high as it prepares to enter a crowded marketplace here. What are some of the other challenges AT&T is facing in the months ahead?
Well, definitely, as you mentioned about HBO Max, AT&T has spent, I think, the past year preparing for this new subscription service. And they're really leveraging the HBO brand there, but it's a crowded field. And even on the earnings call on Monday morning, executives acknowledge that there's also Netflix, there's Amazon Prime. So there's going to be a lot of competition there. The subscription service also, in recent years, AT&T has done a lot of acquisitions. We had the $80 billion plus purchase of Time Warner, as well as the acquisition of DirecTV, all in hopes of becoming a quote-unquote modern media company. And that integration and how you actually turn that into profit is something that will be challenging. One thing that was really interesting on the earnings call on Monday morning was Randall Stephenson, the CEO, mentioned, and part of this deal made with the activist, they're going to be doing this evaluation and look at all of the assets at AT&T. And he specifically mentioned that there are, quote unquote, no sacred cows. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people listening interpreted that to be a reference to DirecTV. So who knows if what might be done with that, if there might be a partnership or divestiture coming along with that. Who knows?
Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Driebusch joining me in our studios in New York. Thank you so much, Corey.
Thank you.
And finally, the aisles at Whole Foods markets are turning into traffic jams. Shoppers are fighting for elbow room and quinoa, with couriers getting groceries for Amazon customers. Amazon bought the high-end grocery store in 2017, but as its Prime Now services grow, the shoppers who fill those online orders are under increased pressure to get groceries to customers in as little as 2 hours. The Wall Street Journal's Jaewon Kang explains what the congestion has meant for the supermarket industry.
Grocery delivery is something that the entire food retail landscape is trying to grapple with. Since Amazon bought Whole Foods and started providing delivery options, other supermarket chains are attempting to compete with that. Many players have turned to third-party delivery services companies like Instacart that can send their own workers to shop and deliver groceries, and others are building their own automated fulfillment centers. Customers are embracing grocery delivery, and for some, that means adjusting to new changes at their local stores, whether it be new layouts or more traffic along the aisles.
What kind of shopper are you? Do you prefer to actually peek inside a carton of eggs before buying them, or would you prefer someone else did the shopping? Let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.